How's it going, everybody? Tim here, the Greyhound Guru, back with another episode of the Greyhound Guru podcast. This is episode number 2, and today we're going to be talking about overbooking on Greyhound buses. Now, this wasn't the topic that I originally was going to talk about, but after the whole incident on United Airlines and a lot of people talking about bad customer service and overbooking on airlines, I thought, let's talk about overbooking on the Greyhound bus, because it is an issue on Greyhound as well. It's actually an issue that takes place a lot more than I thought. As I was doing research for this podcast, I noticed that it actually takes place on Greyhound a lot more than I thought. So I said, I want to talk about today kind of what overbooking is, why I think it happens on Greyhound, and also give some tips as to how hopefully you can keep from getting overbooked, keep it from happening to you while you're traveling on Greyhound. But before we get into that, real quick, I just want to thank everyone who listened to last week's episode, episode 1 of the Greyhound Guru podcast, where we talked about the beheading incident on Greyhound. Wasn't sure people would tune in, people would listen, people would like it. I think it's up to over like 350 people viewed it on YouTube, which I think is spectacular. It's awesome. So thank you to everyone who listened, and thank you to everyone who commented. This podcast is something I'm really going to try to run with and grow. I've already decided the hosting program I'm going to use to get it online. So hopefully this week I can start putting these podcasts not only on YouTube, and there's a couple other video sites I want to put it, but I also want to get it where it's downloadable from the website greyhoundbusguru.com as well. So look for that. But big thank you to everyone who listened to that one and to everyone who is tuning in to this one. If it's your first time listening, I'm Tim. Thank you for listening. Hope you have fun and learn something. Now, let's talk overbooking on the Greyhound bus. So first off, let's define what overbooking is just so we're all on the same page. Overbooking is basically where Greyhound sells more tickets for a certain bus on a certain route than there are seats. So what will happen is you'll show up at the bus station, you'll do everything you're supposed to do, you'll be in line, the bus will be loading, and then eventually someone will come and say, hey, there's no more seats on the bus, you got to wait for the next bus. And this is when everyone starts yelling, throwing a tantrum, getting angry, and rightly so. If I have a ticket that says, you know, I'm scheduled to go from Atlanta to Charleston, South Carolina on the 12:30 bus, and this is the 12:30 bus, and you tell me that I can't get on that bus, I'm going to have a problem with that. You know, this is when everyone's like, well, why would Greyhound sell more tickets than they have seats? I mean, it seems pretty simple. Like, the buses all have the same number of seats, pretty much. So it should be fairly easy to not sell more than that number of seats. If there's 55 seats on a bus, only sell 55 tickets. Now, I will say that I would understand if they had a little overlap. Like, if there's 55 seats, if they sold 57, just because there's lots of times where people don't make the bus. Like, even I have, there's been 2-3 times that, you know, I bought a ticket and just couldn't make that bus. Couldn't take the trip. Something came up at work, personal issue. So I'm sure that happens on a daily basis, probably on every single route. So I, you know, if there was 1 or 2 tickets oversold, just because I'm sure Greyhound has the numbers and the metrics and they know there's a little margin for error, I could understand that. But from what I've heard, it happens, and especially in like busier regions, I think, up north on the East Coast, it happens a lot. I've heard a lot of people in that area, that's one of their main concerns. Is my bus going to be too full when I get there? I've heard this happens a lot. And I think maybe out on the West Coast and some of the bigger markets out there, it happens. So Greyhound, like I said, Greyhound, I could see them overselling a few seats, but it seems to be a large number of seats, like 10 plus people can't get on a bus because it's full. So that's what overbooking is. Now, I will say that sometimes what people call overbooking isn't necessarily overbooking. For instance, if there's an accident or, you know, they can't find a driver for a certain bus, sometimes people will get pushed to a later bus, and then when you go to get on that bus, you can't get on because those people get on first, then the other passengers get on. And so it seems like they overbooked, but actually it's not overbooking. It's just that the bus is full because there was some unforeseen, you know, occurrence. So it's really not, it is Greyhound's fault, kind of, but it's not. It's not blatantly them selling more tickets than there are seats. It's just something came up. They had to put people on a later bus. And so the bus was full. So that happens a lot. Like I said, I've had that happen to me. I've told this story before. It was 2 a.m. in Belgrade, Montana, in November, in the middle of nowhere at this like Flying J truck stop. And I'm waiting out there in the cold with this one other guy. We're all the way like in the back of the truck stop. So it was a little sketch anyway, because that's where the little Greyhound shack was or whatever. It wasn't a station. It was just like one of those sheds you see on the side of the road for $99 down, $100 a month. One of those. And when the bus finally got there, the bus driver pulled all the way over to the gas tanks, just was over there for a while. Then he finally walked over to us and was like, hey, the bus is full. The bus before this broke down. Everybody got pushed to this bus. He's like, I legally can't allow you on the bus. You know, it's just, he's like, we already got people standing up in the aisles. You'll just have to wait. And I was like, well, the next bus isn't until 2 a.m. tomorrow. And he was like, well, yeah, but nothing we can do. So in that case, I was a little aggravated. You know, I had to go and spend another night in a hotel. That was like another $75. Fortunately, I had it. But I wasn't too upset because that wasn't really Greyhound's fault. Things happen. So that's kind of what, you know, a full bus. Totally different than a bus that gets overbooked, like, through the system. Like, they just legit sell more tickets than they have seats. And this seems to happen. And I can't understand why in this day and age, in 2017, with the advancements we have in software and technology, why they don't have some form of stop in the software to where once the 55, we're still going with that number, I like it, 55. Once the 55 seats are sold, stop selling tickets. Now, I will say, Greyhound is a big behemoth of a company. So, and you have a lot of different outlets, a lot of different stations, 7-Elevens, all these places, you know, selling tickets. So I might could understand, once again, a little overlap if five people, if there's one seat left on a bus and five people across the country are all trying to get that one seat, it might get sold to two of them. You know, I could see this happening just because, you know, it takes a few seconds for the system to you know, update. I could see that happening. But for it consistently on a regular basis, certain routes to always be overbooked, I just don't see that happening unless Greyhound doesn't really care if it happens. And the more I think about this, the more I feel that the reason Greyhound allows it to keep happening is because they don't really mind. And this is, here's my opinion on this. And let me just first say, this is my opinion. I haven't heard this from anyone who works at Greyhound. I would love for someone who works at Greyhound to call and be like, Tim, you're an idiot, you're wrong. This is the real reason. Because then we all would have the real reason to a question that everyone's asking online. But for now, all I can do is give you my opinion. So, my opinion is that Greyhound knows it happens. Like I said, they've got the numbers, they've got the metrics, they know. Yeah, they know what's happening. But I feel like Greyhound would rather get your money and then maybe have to give you a refund if you can't get on the bus you want to get on when you want to get on it, rather than not get your money. So yeah, there's 55 seats on the bus. There's 55 tickets sold, but there's 15 more people who want a ticket on that route. Sell it to them. Get that extra 15 tickets worth of money, and then, you know, if they can't get on the bus and they have to wait, you know, to the next bus, which is 4, 5, 6, 8 hours later, we still got their money. If you tell them they can't get on that bus, tell them there's no tickets available, they might come up with other travel options. They might want to take Amtrak. They might want to take another bus. They might say, screw it, I'll fly. You know, but if you go ahead and get their money and lock them in, by the time they realize that the bus is full, there's nothing you can do. You know, they're stuck going Greyhound. And Greyhound gets more money. This is the only reason I could think of what happens consistently is Greyhound. It boils down to a little bit of greed. Now, I don't know if, I won't say that Greyhound went in there and set this in place. Haha, let's get more money. But I think that they know it happens and they haven't done anything to keep it from happening because it makes them more money. If you think about it, Greyhound doesn't make any more money when your trip goes the way it should go. It's not like they get a bonus for your trip going the way it goes. If you have to, if you get on the bus you want to get on, or if you get on a bus 4 hours later, Greyhound makes the same amount of money. You know? So there's no incentive for them to get you on the right bus. You said, well, I might complain and yell and scream. That happens every day at the stations anyway. They're used to it. Like, it doesn't bother Greyhound. Plus, two, if you go to the website and you read the fine print, Greyhound says on there, it's first come, first serve basis, yada, yada, yada. They can't guarantee you, you know, a seat on whatever bus or route you bought. So basically, Greyhound looks at it this way. If you buy a ticket from Atlanta, Georgia to Charleston, South Carolina, they guarantee that they will get you there. You are spending your $37.50 as a guarantee that sooner or later, you will get from Atlanta to Charleston, South Carolina on the Greyhound bus. Is Charleston in South Carolina or North Carolina? I think it's South Carolina. You will get to Charleston in whatever Carolina it is, sooner or later, on the Greyhound bus. This is what you are giving your money for. Now, we as passengers, we look at it the other way because we have time constraints and people picking us up and reasons why we're going to, you know, Charleston. So if we're on the 12:30 bus that's supposed to get us there at, you know, 8:30 the next day, we are expecting to leave at 12:30, be there at 8:30 because we got stuff to do. So we see it that way. We see it by the time. I want to be on this route this time. Greyhound doesn't see it that way. Greyhound sees it as, you know, we're just going to get you there eventually. You know, so to them, I would imagine they might say that they technically don't overbook because they can't overbook because eventually, you know, because, yeah, that bus might be overbooked, but eventually you'll get on a bus. So you weren't overbooked. It just took you a little longer to get there. I would imagine Greyhound would argue that. You know, you're not buying a ticket on a certain bus. You're just buying the ticket. Plus, you know, if you sit around the station for 4 hours, you're more likely to use the vending machine 8 times, buy something from the food court. So Greyhound makes a little more money, you know. So at the end of the day, I think Greyhound makes more money when they overbook buses than they would make if they went in and fixed whatever, you know, they need to fix in the software so they stop overbooking. I just don't think there's an incentive on their part to not let it happen. Like I said, I don't think it's some scheme that they set up on purpose, but I think they've got the numbers, they got the metrics, they got to know that certain routes consistently get oversold, and I think they know how much money they make from these routes consistently getting oversold. So there's really no reason, there's no incentive for them to fix it. Greyhound knows that, yes, a lot of passengers will be mad when their bus is overbooked and they have to wait a while. But guess what? Like I said, passengers are mad every day on the Greyhound bus. They're used to it. Plus, once again, they've got the numbers. I guarantee the average number of people who ride the Greyhound bus every year does not change much. Let's say it's 20 million. I guarantee on their worst year, it's 19 million. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee like the numbers of the people who ride Greyhound stay pretty, the average stays about the same no matter what. Greyhound constantly gets bad press. You know, people are constantly complaining about Greyhound. I don't know any other company who has a worse, like, customer service rating on the internet, because I've looked. Greyhound gets, like, 1 star consistently, and a lot of people are like, I wish I could give them a 0.5 star. Like, so, like, all the stuff that happens on Greyhound that they won't address, they know what's happening, and they just don't address it because no matter what, people are still going to ride Greyhound. They have a built-in customer base who, for the most part, have no other option. There isn't anyone else who goes from big cities to small cities, you know, especially not for that price. A lot of people live in the parts of the country where the only bus travel is Greyhound. Like, you know, I grew up, you know, in the southeast part of the United States. All we have for the most part is Greyhound. Now you got Megabus, but Megabus only goes to like certain places. The closest city to me is Tallahassee, Florida for the Greyhound. It's the closest biggest city. Anyway, but for the Greyhound and where the Megabus goes, if I type in from Tallahassee, the 2 box only has like 4 cities in it. Whereas Greyhound, I can go anywhere in the country from Tallahassee. So all around the country, Greyhound knows they have a monopoly on a lot of their passengers. So why fix it? Why not overbook buses? You make more money. You know, why spend the money to train better customer service? What's in it for them? They're not going to make more money because people are nice. You know, for every 1 person who stops riding Greyhound, 10 people come of age to ride Greyhound and start riding it. So what we've established now is that, you know, Greyhound, in my opinion, isn't going to stop overbooking buses anytime soon. They have no reason to. So the question is how to keep from getting overbooked. And the short answer is there's really nothing you can do if Greyhound wants to sell more tickets and seats. Really, the only thing you can try to do is be one of the first people on the bus. So, and I've said this many times, I always say get to the station early, at least an hour early. People think I'm crazy. I'm not sitting up at that ground station for an hour. When you can't get on the bus, you'll wish you had. So get to the ground station an hour early. Get your ticket if you're doing will call. Get your luggage checked in. Find out what door your bus is boarding out of. Go down there and, if possible, as soon as possible, get in line behind that door to board. If there's no boarding line, start it. I don't care if people look at you like you're crazy because it's, 50 minutes before the bus is supposed to board and you're standing there. I don't care. Get in the line. Be one of the first people there. You will go to some stations where they won't allow you to get in the boarding line until a certain time. In that case, sit down, stand as close to the line where the line is going to be as possible. And as soon as the employee comes over or you hear it over the PA that line is forming, get in line. Because there are some stations that are small and they use the same doors, two or three times within an hour. So you can't always be standing in the line the whole time. But as soon as that line forms, do what you got to do. Short of like pushing little old ladies out the way. Feel free to push big old ladies out the way. Do what you got to do short of like hurting someone or interacting with the crazy person. Never do that on Greyhound. Do what you got to do to be in the front of that line. That way, even if there's only 20 seats left on the bus, you will be one of the 20. Like that's like my best tip to people. And I do this all the time. Like I'm anal with it. Like I always try to be the first person in line. And if I'm further back than like fifth, I get pissed. Like I will stand there for an hour and watch the spot. And as soon as it's time to go, boom, or I'll go ahead and get in the spot and just stand there. And people look at me like I'm crazy. Then they get it later when the boarding line starts up. They're like, oh, that's how we got there. And don't come in line and put your luggage down and leave and expect me to not. I'm telling you, I'm a nice person. Always, but I get very aggressive when it comes to getting on that bus because I'm not waiting 4 hours for the next bus. So get there early, get in line early, take care of everything you got to do so you can be one of the first people on the bus. So if there is an overbooking incident, it won't affect you. Now, one other thing that you can do is also, and I advocate this all the time, book your tickets, if possible, for times when a lot of people don't travel on the bus. And these would be, this would be midweek, especially Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's also times late at night or early in the morning. So book at times when there aren't a lot of passengers on the bus anyway. Most people travel weekends and during the day. So try to travel Tuesday, Wednesday, late at night, early in the morning. And the cool thing about this is you get price discounts for traveling at these off periods anyway. If you travel Tuesday or Wednesday and you get a price break because a lot of people don't ride the bus. Greyhound is trying to gin up traffic on those days. And especially on those, you get even bigger price break, if you travel on those days early in the morning or late at night. I believe it's like after 11 and before 10 a.m. So not only do you get a price break, but you're also traveling at a time where there's fewer people on the buses and therefore you're less likely to get overbooked. The overbooked buses or the weekend buses and the buses, during the, in the evenings and during the day. So late at night, early in the morning, during the week, less likely to run into an overbooking situation. And this is basically all you can do. I mean, it's just, there's no way you can stop Greyhound from selling more tickets than they have seats. They're going to keep doing it, I think, till the end of time, till there is no more Greyhound. So all you can do, get in that line quickly, try to travel at times when there aren't a lot of people on the buses. So hopefully this information was useful about overbooking on the Greyhound bus. It's just one of those things. The good thing is, though, if you ever get overbooked on the Greyhound bus, you don't have to worry about getting dragged off the bus because they won't even let you on the bus. It's not like the airlines where someone will have to get off. No. Like, you'll just be sitting in the station for another few hours. Though I have seen times where someone got up on the bus and they were like looking for a seat and couldn't find one. And then they had to kind of get off. But they weren't drug off. It was just like, well, you obviously there's no seats, so you can't get on. Or what usually happens is somebody in the back has like something in a seat that looks almost like a person. And so there is like one seat left. And the person's like, there's no seats. And the bus driver will walk back. And eventually they'll find that seat that, you know, the one person is asleep and they look like two people or somehow. And then the person will find a seat. But I have seen times where they're like, yeah, you have to get off. But like I said, it wasn't an incident. Like, happened on the airline. I thought it was cool this week, too, that Greyhound had a great week. Because of the airline incident and everyone hated airlines this week, everybody was like, there's options. We can go Greyhound. That's kind of why I made the little video about if you think United sucks, go Greyhound. And I talked about the fact that, you know, people get all angry because they have these expectations of this great, luxurious, well air-conditioned, laid back. There's a beautiful like blonde sitting next to you talking to you on the plane, and you're getting liquor and free peanuts and free pretzels and soda, and there's a movie with Christian Slater in it and all this other stuff that they're expecting. You didn't hear that, but I just spilled my water. I was waving my hands about like I tend to do when I'm talking, and I just spilled water all over the desk here. Anyway, yeah, a movie with Christian Slater and, you know, hot stewardesses and pilots and all this. And then when it doesn't go that way, or you have, not saying the incident on United was just a small thing, it was a big deal, but it seems like in plane travel, when things don't go the way people expect, everybody gets all bent out of shape. On the Greyhound, if you know anything about Greyhound, you know to expect this type of stuff. You know anything about Greyhound, you know to expect it. That's kind of why I like to make these videos and give people videos and podcasts and the blog and everything, to give people a realistic view of Greyhound. Yes, I do like the Greyhound bus. I recommend it as a form of travel. I think the price makes it very attractive, especially in tough economic times. I think you get to see more of the country. You get to interact more with your fellow passengers, which sometimes is not a good thing, but a lot of times it is. And you know, you get to just lay back and ride around, and you know, the bus stops every couple of hours. You get to get out, stretch your feet, and buy some stale tacos from a gas station in the middle of Nevada. I mean, it's great. But I will admit that there's going to be bad things that happen. There's going to be weird people on the bus with you. It's going to take you way longer to get to your destination. The bathroom is going to smell like those tacos that somebody picked up at the gas station in Nevada. You know, it's just there's some downside. But if you know this going into it, it's not a big deal. You know, there may be situations where your bus gets overbooked or your bus is full and you're going to have to wait for the next bus. And it can be, if it's a 2-hour layover, you're excited. Ooh, only 2 hours. You know, like it might be 4 hours, it might be 6 hours. I ended up having an 18-hour layover once. I went to the Crown Plaza, this was in Dallas, and spent the night because I wasn't waiting that long. Once again, fortunate to have the money. But, you know, these situations arise. If you're prepared for them, you won't get bent out of shape, you know? So I just thought it was cool that Greyhound had this great week, because everyone was saying, there's options, we can go Greyhound. But I know that half those people that were on Twitter and everywhere else bashing the airlines and saying they'd go Greyhound, if they ever took a long-distance trip on the Greyhound, would be wanting to shoot themselves. They would never complain about the airlines again. I just thought it was hilarious. But I'm just like, hey, yeah, you know, kudos to Greyhound for getting some good press through no activity on their own. You know, they had a great week. The airlines did not. So we'll see if it'd be interesting to see if Greyhound actually, I'd like to know if they actually made any extra money, more money than usual this week because of that. But on that note, I just want to say that they probably would have had to drag me off that plane, too. Like, I wouldn't have got off either. So, anyway. So, that was what I wanted to talk about in today's podcast. The overbooking situation. Like I said, hopefully you learned something. I am going to probably, I don't know why I didn't think about this last week, but even before I have a way to, which I should be getting this week, a way to download these podcasts from the website, I'm going to start putting them on greyhoundbusguru.com, which if you haven't checked it out, check it out. That's my website /blog/ learning project. So I'll probably put this podcast up, last week's as well as this week's, as a blog post. And it'll just have this YouTube video embedded. And then that way I can put some links and some, whenever I talk about something in the podcast, I can have some links that I mention and a bunch of other cool stuff in there. So if you missed last week's podcast, even though it's not downloadable yet on the website, go over to greyhoundbusguru.com. And by the time you hear this, hopefully you'll be able to listen to episode one. So thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. As always, if you have any questions about the Greyhound bus, please, if you're watching this on YouTube, listening to this on YouTube, please check out my other videos. I think I have like 40 plus videos about the Greyhound bus on there. So check those out. Go over to the website, like I mentioned. You can also follow me on Twitter at Guru of Greyhound. I have a Facebook page, but I haven't really developed it, so I'm not really promoting it yet. But you know, I'm learning all this stuff here. So once I get, you know, better at Facebooking, the booking of the face, I will start talking about that link. But I am on Twitter a lot. And on the rare occasions when Greyhound puts out a new promo code, I like to tweet it out like regularly. So follow me on Twitter just for that. I might save you some money. And I also like to like retweet cool stuff people say about the Greyhound bus. That's mainly what I do. So check me out on Twitter at Guru of Greyhound. Oh, I wanted to say, people have been telling me to get more footage of like Greyhound bus stations, and I intend to do this. Like I mentioned last week, planning a trip, a long, you know, long distance cross country Greyhound trip. Want to get lots of footage, lots of material, lots of pictures. But yesterday, Saturday was my day off. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Tallahassee. Like I mentioned, the closest Greyhound bus station to me. I said, I'm going to get some footage of the Greyhound bus station in Tallahassee just so I have some video other than just me talking. So drive all the way to Tallahassee. It's like an hour away. And I get to the station. And it's not real busy on the outside. There's like five spaces to park, and I got one. I was like, cool. So I get out. I got my camera. I'm just walking with it, but I'm recording. And like, you can't make this stuff up. Some crazy guy starts yelling at me immediately. And I was like, yes, this is video gold. He's like, hey, I'll watch your car for you. I'm like, what? He's like, I'll watch your car for you so nobody steals it. I'm like, okay. You ain't got to give me no money if you don't want to. I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. And I'm like, yes, got that on camera. And I'm walking in, and another sketchy looking guy walks past me and like looks at me, you know, looks at my phone that I'm filming on. And I'm like, oh man, this is good. Like this is what I wanted. And I was just like, I'm going to go inside. It's going to be packed to the gills, you know, and I'm just going to get to show what the Tallahassee bus station is like. I walk inside, crickets. There's two people in there. No lie. There's one homeless guy sitting on a bench sleep, and there's another lady talking to, like, I think her girlfriend at the customer service desk. There's nobody in there. Nobody. And I know what you're thinking, like, well, you still could get some good video. Well, the problem with it is the station is so small that, and the little food court they have was closed, which I wanted to go in there, and because it's kind of like a little convenience store, not a food court, really. I want to go in there and get some footage. Like, the station is so small, just taking video of it empty took like 2 seconds. There's this customer service counter, there's the three lines, there's the bathroom, there's the seats. Boom. It just was a boring video. Like, it's just, took some pictures, but it was nothing. Like, what makes the station is when it's busy, there's people there, you can see how the lines are forming, you know, you can see the little food court convenience store area. That would have made the video, and since it was empty, I'm not going to post the video. Like, I'll try to go sometime when it's busy. I think there's only like four routes that go out of there. So I'm going to look online and see when those routes are leaving. Maybe find a time when two of the routes are about to leave or something, if I can, where they overlap. And then I'll go get some video. But yeah, it was just a wasted trip. So I just went down to the lake and walked around the lake and listened to Drake. And I still had a good day, but was trying to get y'all some more footage. Couldn't. Thought I'd share that story. Anyway, I have talked long enough. Like I was saying before the story, check out, you know, all the places you can find me online for answers to your questions. If you can't find it, just leave it in the comment box below this video or whatever comment box you can find, or just, you know, send it to me on Twitter, tweet me on Twitter, and I will get back with you and try to get the questions answered for you, because that's what I like doing. So anyway, thank you for listening to episode 2. Tune and subscribe so you can get episode 3 next week. If you have any thoughts about what you want to hear in episode 3, let me know in the comment box as well. And I will talk to y'all later. Have a good day. Happy travels. Like I always say, if all else fails, go Greyhound.